Last week, we saw in Ephesians 2 how we went from dead in sin to alive in Christ, from children of wrath into the family or the household of God. Just amazing. We went from helpless and hopeless to God's masterpiece. And, you know, and I think I mentioned that these things are not this isn't a subtle change. And so we're going to consider a little bit of that this morning. But one of the things that we looked at and considered, if you remember, you know, it was at one time or in time past. You remember that in Ephesians? But now. So that change, and then we went got down to where it says, so then. And that's what I want to take a little bit more time with this morning, is the so then. And to remind you, that was in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 19. And it said, so then, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. To understate it, God has done something really magnificent in Christ. We are a new creation with the ability and the responsibility to bring to light, or to bring the light of God's love and the reality of his Christ, our Lord, into a dark world. That's our new identity, our life in Christ. And I think I mentioned last week that we manifest our identity individually, but even to a greater degree, we do it collectively. If you remember, I think I shared that parable of a city on a hill cannot be hid. And that's what I picture, a fellowship or a local church. And we have the ability, by grace, by way of the Spirit of God, to do what the Word lays out for us to do. Now, we're going to go to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read some familiar verses. But when you think about it, the drastic change that took place in the lives of these people that we're reading about, I mean, it's really breathtaking. And this is at the foundation. This is at the start of the church, the body of Christ, the place where God dwells. This is what it looked like. This is how they did it. Okay? And so we're not going to look, we're going to look at some scriptures, but we're not going to get too exhaustive. But I am going to point out some things in light of what we're considering this morning. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, now this is the day of Pentecost. Peter had just shared regarding who Jesus Christ was, and they were pricked in their hearts. Which is really just a beautiful example of what Holy Spirit does. It's pretty neat. Verse 42 reads, it says, and I'm reading from the ESV, and they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. Okay? So, this word, which ESV translates devoted, I think King James says continued steadfastly in. But it means devoted. It means committed. This is where they put their effort. This is where they put their time. They were devoted to this. And then it lists four things. One was the teaching. It was the apostles' teaching or doctrine. And primarily, I mean, there was revelation being given to these apostles, but they primarily would build off of the Old Testament scriptures that pointed to the Christ, as we read in Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. This is that which was written by the prophet Joel. See? This is what it was talking about. Here's its fulfillment in the giving of spirit. So they devoted themselves to the teaching, to the doctrine. The word that's used here is a word that means teaching. They devoted themselves to that. Then the second thing they devoted themselves to was the fellowship. Right? And that fellowship, it's a participation. It's a taking part in. It's a full sharing. It's the love and sharing between one another. So they devoted themselves to the fellowship. Now we'll consider that a little bit more as we go. So they devoted themselves to the teaching. They devoted themselves to the fellowship. The third thing that's listed here is they devoted themselves to the breaking bread together. Breaking bread together. I look at this as spending time together. They devoted themselves to being with one another. Does that mean all 3,000 hung out and did a barbecue every afternoon? No. No, it doesn't. Later on, we'll read here, they broke bread from house to house, but they spent time with one another. And I'm going to tell you something, breaking bread in this time, it wasn't like, hey, let's order for Mission Barbecue. There was some time involved. There was effort involved. They had to make stuff. You imagine? You ever hear such a thing? But it's really beautiful. But they devoted themselves to spending that time together. And then it says they devoted themselves to, and in the ESV is the prayers, or devoted themselves to prayer. So those four things is what you see right out of the gate at the foundation of these things. And these are our first brothers and sisters that we'll meet someday. So what was the result of this devotion to these four things? An awe or reverence came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. So you just stop and consider that. Well, what was happening? Well, they were devoted to the teaching. They were building the Word of God in their hearts. And then they were devoted to the fellowship, sharing love with one another. What happens in the fellowship? We read it last week. Right? There's encouragement. Every member of the body is gifted by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they availed themselves to those ministries in the body of Christ. They'd go have, a burger with Jane, and Jane would minister to Julie. And Julie put something together and it was wonderful. Or maybe they were having a hard time. Do you think all these people were perfect? Well, of course they were, because it was the day of Pentecost. It's in the Bible. No, they were people. Just like us. They were broken just like we were broken. See? But what they devoted themselves to was the Word of God, see, and to being together. They believed these things that had been taught and heard. And the result was what we're reading here. Do you think believing was being built? Anticipation was being built? Expectations were being built? By spending that kind of time and devoting themselves to these things? And then it says, verse 44, and all who believed were together and had all things common. Now, I got to tell you, that is not the natural order of things. This is not what flesh... Oh, you know what? I'm going to share all my stuff with everybody. I'm going to find people who have need, and I'm just going to make sure they're taken care of. The flesh, that's not its tendency. But something was happening here. God was working. And they were believing. They were in awe of God. There was a reverence that motivated these things that we're reading here. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts. Isn't that beautiful? Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. I'll tell you, you know, with this kind of devotion to the teaching, this kind of devotion to the fellowship, this kind of devotion to being together and spending time together, and this kind of devotion to the prayers, people were seeing the character of Christ. They knew that these people were different. There was something real happening. And so people were added daily. It's pretty awesome. If you would, please turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And I wanted to read a section of this morning. You know, what we do, this, you know, this community of saints, which is really, it's manifested, you know, on a local level, at the local group, the local church. And as I said last week, that's where, you know, you learn your gifting. That's where the structure is. You know, for the teaching, for the ministries to be operated, for you to grow, for you to have an opportunity to serve, for you to love and to grow in that and to learn how to do that. See? And what you see through all of this, and as we read, you know, I think I said last week, identity is so critical to this. And that new creation that we are in Christ, it really does take a laying down of self. And that's something we grow into. It's not going to be necessarily overnight. But there's a laying down of self. You know, concern about self or concern how you look. There's just a freedom that develops when you really begin to understand, man, we're all in this together. Every one of us is totally helpless without Christ. See? And if you don't think you're totally helpless without Christ, you need some growth. And that's okay. But that's the truth. In Hebrews 10, I want to pick it up in verse 14. This is such a great section. It's just so loaded. But it really, it's prefaced here regarding the selfless, once and for all sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did and how that everything in the law and the prophets pointed to him. And in verse 14 of Hebrews 10, it says, "For by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified." And then it reads, "And the Holy Spirit also bears witness to us. For after saying, verse 16, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Okay? And I just want to take a moment and stop here. "I will put their laws on their hearts and write them on their minds." Now this is referring, this is from back in Jeremiah, referring to the new covenant that would one day come. You and I, having believed on Jesus Christ, are the beneficiaries of what we're reading here. "I will put my laws in their hearts." See? And it's referring to that Spirit. And the reason why I wanted to take a moment with this is because this is an inward thing. This is an inward change, an inward fixing, as opposed to the exterior fixing, the exterior maintenance that was the law. And Jesus Christ, he says in Matthew, "Don't think I've come to abolish the law. No, 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 no. I came to fulfill it." And he did. He did every jot and tittle of the law. He not only did the law, he did the heart of the law. He fulfilled God's intent behind the law. Isn't that amazing? That's what Jesus Christ did. And that's what made available this change that God had so longed for, and it's referring to the giving of Spirit, writing my law in there, on their hearts, and writing them on their minds. Right? And it's that Spirit of God that enables us to do the things that we begin to read here. Without the Spirit of God, where you really land is hypocrisy in our efforts to try. Verse 17 then says, then he adds, "I will remember their sins and lawless deeds no more." Where there is forgiveness of these, there's no longer any offering for sin. Thing. This is referring back to the once and for all offering of the Lord Jesus Christ for you. Then verse 20 says, "By the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh." And this is referring to that veil that separated the holy place from the holiest. And if you remember, on the day Jesus Christ was crucified, that veil rent from top to bottom. But it was by way of his flesh being torn that that separation between man and God was cleared. So it's through Christ we have that access to God. So great was his sacrifice. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, and our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, beginning here in verse 22 and ending in verse 25, you're going to see faith, hope, and love. Okay? We just read, and I'm just going to read this again very quickly. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience. This evil conscience refers back to dead works. It refers back to working your righteousness. That's an evil conscience. Jesus Christ dealt with that. Jesus Christ paid the price. I am completely reliant on Jesus Christ. And our bodies washed with pure water. That's a whole nother study. And it's really beautiful. When you go back to what the priests and the cleansing they had to go through. Our bodies are to be a living sacrifice. The members of our body can be subject to the Spirit of God that we've received. Isn't that something? And so that we can honestly, which we'll see here in a minute, we can honestly serve. We can honestly serve one another. We really can love one another. We can really do that. As different as we are, we can truly love one another. But it's by way of grace. It's by way of the Spirit of God. Okay. Then it says in verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Okay. So, you know, and this thing colors it all, is the hope. That's where we're headed. And then it says in verse 24, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. Now, this word consider is to observe, to perceive, to discover. It means a concerted effort to look for ways to incite. Here's a positive use of that word. To incite, or I think in the King James it's provoke. We incite, we provoke one another to love. Isn't that something? It takes effort. It takes devotion. But it takes a reliance on the Spirit of God. And it's by way of that grace that we can do these things, that we can incite or provoke one another to love. And that's one of the tremendous things that takes place, you know, in the fellowship, in the church. And then verse 25 of chapter 10 reads, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Mm-hmm. We get together in light of that day when we're all gathered together, drawing near. And the day that's being referred to is that day of Christ. It's that day of Christ. It's a day when the darkness that we're surrounded with is going to be no more. Not for the church. It's a day when our somewhat obscure view of Christ, of God, even of the church, of one another, becomes clear. For we're going to know even as we're known. Isn't that something? And it's going to be boom like that. Okay. Sin's presence, the cares of the world, the weakness of the flesh, all gone in that day. So we assemble, we gather together now in light of that day. And we don't forsake that as was the manner of some. You know, some of this was because they were being ridiculed, these of Jewish background, for believing on Christ. That's something. But it's not about this world, which it's going to go on. It goes on to say, we're not going to read those verses, but it talks about a willingness to go outside the gate where Jesus Christ, where he was crucified, murdered, and killed in the same place where they would take the dead animals after they sacrificed the blood on the altar. But our altar is the cross. So forsake Jerusalem. Forsake its approval. It's a picture of the world's approval, of what men think, of what they deem to be wonderful, important, honorable, all those things. Rather, we go on to Christ and we suffer reproach or insult for him. Ah, isn't that something? Boy, it's a whole new way of thinking, isn't it? Whole new way of living. We're going to pick it up in Hebrews 13. And I'm going to read beginning in verse 1. And again, I'm not going to get into a lot of detail here, but Hebrews 13 follows on the heels of the end of chapter 12 in Hebrews, which reads, therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, and let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe. Okay? So what we're going to see here in Hebrews 13, it begins to draw a picture of what that looks like. What's acceptable worship to God with reverence and awe? And here's the first thing it says. You sitting down? Good. It says, let brotherly love continue. Brotherly love. You know what brotherly love is? It's brotherly love. It's affection for one another. It's joy at seeing one another. Isn't that something? It's a genuine care, and it's genuine. It's a genuine thing. How do you have brotherly love for someone you don't know? What is it we have in common? Christ. And what's the ability that we've been given? Christ in. It's the Spirit of God. See, so I can have brotherly love for you even though I don't know you intimately. but I can love you. I can be genuinely concerned for you. You can be genuinely concerned for me. Am I perfect? No. Are you? No. It has nothing to do with it. It has everything to do with Christ. And that's it. So that's where that happens. Verse 2 says, do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Happened to Abraham and some others. Hospitality is a big deal. And this is with the idea of entertaining strangers. Now, that's not the way the world works, especially today. You know, it's a distrust of anybody you don't know. See, but here it's a hospitality to people you don't know. That is extended. Isn't that something? And so we manifest that kind of love, that kind of care, that kind of characteristic of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it says, remember those who are in prison, as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated, since you are in the body, we're members one of another. Let marriage be held in honor among all. That means even the unmarried. That's something. Where marriage is held in honor, not just by the married, that married couple, but by all in the church. All other married couples and all who are not married. That marriage is very honorable. And let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. See, isn't that beautiful? Who do we rely on? See, our life isn't run by the love of money. There's nothing wrong with money. But do it in partnership with God. Do it right. And then it won't run you. You'll be subject to the true God. You'll walk with your God, and you will manifest the character of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if God has blessed you, do it right. See? And you know what? The same holds for those who don't have much money. Because love of that money can run you too. We talked about this a couple weeks ago. Boy, if I only had this, I'm good. I'm set. If I only had this, everything would be good. Boy, then I could serve. Ah, you're already run by something else. Okay. The heart of it is, I will never leave you nor what? Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that simple? I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. Remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Now, many translations, and I believe it's correctly, this is a past tense because it deals with the end of their lives. Remember those leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Remember them. Consider them. And consider the end of their lives. Consider the outcome of their way of life. And then imitate their what? Their believing. See? And this is referring to those who had taught these people the word of God, who had stood. They'd stood all the way to the end. And then it says in verse 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And see, and that in the church, this is the leader, or the life of a leader should point to the life and to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Not to self, but to Jesus Christ, to the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. When it comes to this, you see all through the word, God's emphasis is character. And for a leader, it is grace that will equip you rather than talent. And it says, considering the end, why Jesus Christ the same? He's the same. The gospel is the same. It brings the same deliverance. Jesus Christ doesn't change. Then it says in verse 9, do not be led away with diverse and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods, which have not benefited those devoted to them. We have an altar from which those who serve the tent with the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the holy places by the high priest. And this is what at this time, these saints were dealing with. The works of the law. It's other things today. But again, it's by grace. It's by a reliance on Jesus Christ. And that's the point. Verse 13, let us go to him outside the camp and bear the reproach he endured. For here we have no lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. The bottom line is this world has nothing lasting to offer. So we attach ourselves to Christ. We're not ashamed of the gospel. And we seek a city that God is the light of. I'm going to just read this verse. You don't need to turn there. But just a kind of a spoiler. Revelation 21, verse 22, it says, and I saw no temple in the city, for its temple is the Lord God, the Almighty, and the Lamb. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light. And its lamp is the Lamb. Isn't that something? See, in the future we'll all be together. And God is going to tabernacle with men. For now, that thing that God is building, this temple, which is the body of Christ, where God dwells so that the world can get a glimpse of him, get a glimpse of who Jesus Christ is. But there's a time coming when it's all good. There'll be no temple. It's really beautiful. In verse 15, which is what I wanted to get to, it says, through him, then let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Do not neglect, in verse 16, to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Now this is echoing from the sacrifices of the Old Testament, which pointed toward the Christ, but Christ has come. We look back on it. We have the laws written on our hearts and our minds because of the Spirit that was poured out on the day of Pentecost. So our sacrifice is a living sacrifice, like it says in Romans chapter 12. The sacrifices that we offer are the praise of our lips, the sharing with one another. And that's not just, you know, sharing of physical things, but it's the sharing of time. It's the care for one another. See, it's the seeking on how I can edify the church. It's the considering how I provoke you to love. All of those things are a sacrifice that's pleasing to God. And remember, what we're reading here is worshiping God acceptably, which we read in Romans 12, in Hebrews 12 at the end. You guys good for another 5 minutes?
Yep.
All right. Romans chapter 12. You can turn there if you like. I promise to read what's written. Of course, Romans 12 opens up with a living sacrifice. And these are familiar verses to us all. But what we're reading here is to the church. And it really, it just lines up beautifully with how we love God, how we worship God, which is to have brotherly love to one another, is to care for one another, is to show hospitality to one another, is to consider one another, is to provoke one another to love. All of these things is how we worship and serve God. In Romans 12, verse 9, it says, "Let love be genuine. Abhor that which is evil, hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor." Wow. "Don't be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope." There's that hope. "Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer." Sort of echoes what we read in Acts 2, doesn't it? "Contribute to the needs of the saints and seek to show hospitality." Seek it. Look for opportunities to take care of people and to bless them. Look for that. Seek it. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and don't curse them." It's not who we are. "Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep." Similar to what we read in Hebrews. We're one body. We're members with one another. And when one of us is hurting, we all hurt. See, when one of us is rejoicing, we can all rejoice for that. It's a together thing. That's the picture that's being drawn here. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty. Love that word. Don't be haughty, but associate with the lowly, meaning humble. Never be wise in your own sight. I've always said for years, and many of you heard me say it, right when you think you've got it all together, duck. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. And if possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. See? Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it's written, "Vengeance is mine. I'll repay. I'll take care of it." And when he does it, he's going to do it justly. We might have ideas what we think he ought to do, but whatever he does, it's going to be right. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. How are they going to meet Jesus Christ if we don't do this? And if we don't do this, we are just simply doing what the world does, and then what's the difference? Right? For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. You will burn his brains out. No, it's that warming. I think you guys know that. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Isn't this a great team to be a part of? Isn't this a great thing to participate in? See, and these are things that we pursue. Maybe I'm not there yet. Maybe I'm not. Maybe self gets in the way at times. But I can grow. I can pursue these things. I can pray. I can ask God for grace and help. Huh. And you know what God will do?
Give you grace.
Yeah, give you grace and I'll help you. He's like that. Isn't that great? So, you know, that being together and fellowshipping together is just such a big deal. It's a big deal to God. And it's a big, vital part to how we make known Christ to the world. And it's also, there's an affirming that takes place. You know, when we're together, it's like when I see Darnell, I'm blessed, man, because I know he's born again. He believed on Jesus Christ. It's just cool. So he's cool to me. It's like, you're cool, bro.
Hey, you're cool.
Right, there you go. Hey. It's just, boy, there's just something so wonderful about that. So, amen.